Some of you will be quite aware that I've discovered at the ripe old age of boom, I like country music. You know, it's great. And I've discovered that on the television there's an actual channel devoted to it. And it's a really good one because you get a lot of gospel stuff as well. And then I discovered YouTube, and I can put into that where I want to go. And I just got all this country music. And I discovered something that you probably heard of somebody that I just, not too recently, but quite recently discovered, somebody called Vince Gill, who is an amazing guitarist and a singer. But what I discovered about him was who he's married to. He's married to Amy Grant, who some of you may well know, is a Christian country singer of sorts, right? So they're married. And on YouTube, you find this. And I want to read some words for the song that he sings about his wife. And while this is going on, there's still pictures of him and his wife in various romantic settings and poses and staring into one another's eyes. It's nice, it's good. It's a bit soppy, but it's nice. But just listen to these words. Look at us. After all these years together, look at us. After all we have been through, look at us. Still leaning on each other. If you want to see how true love should be, then just look at us. It's nice, isn't it? It's nice. But when I heard those words, you can actually see them, they're on the screen as you go, I was quite challenged. You know, we're all wanting to hear Jesus say to us, well done and good, faithful servant. And that's the words we love to, and we love and we hope that we will hear one day. But wouldn't it be great if God could use our relationship with him and his example to others, and his example of true love? I know I'm stretching a bit, it's not a particularly Christian thing, but it's still love. And God loves us intimately. And the challenge for me and for you, I feel, is do we love him back as intimately as he loves us? If you want to turn to the reading for this morning, it's Psalm 139. You know it very well, and it's a fairly long psalm, so we're not going to read it all, and we don't really have time to go through it all this morning. So I just want to read the first six verses. This is a psalm of David. This is a very personal psalm. But most people who read it want it to apply to them. I know when I first came across it, I said, well, what an experience. This is an experience of a man who's having an intimate relationship with God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search me. You search out my path. My lying down are acquainted with all your ways, or all my ways, sorry. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. You know, according to the writer to the Hebrews, the word of God is alive. It's living and it's active. Can you not read these words and not be affected? What's going on in David's life and what you want to go on in your own personal life and your own personal relationship with God? David's personal relationship and intimate relationship with God caused him to sing about it. Funnily enough, we sung it this morning, 23rd Psalm. And it was all about his God looking out for him, regardless of what went on. It was so intimate. You know, Paul encourages us to sing to the Lord. He says in Ephesians, he says, sing, make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we've been singing all morning to the Lord. It's good. We like to do it. But you know what that challenges me is, you know, to really give myself, you know, most of you have sat next to me when we're singing, no, I'm not the singer. But, you know, I can make a joyful noise to the Lord. It's not what it really sounds like. It's what's coming from your heart. And it's connecting. And that's what makes it intimate, even when we praise and worship together on a Sunday morning. If we're connecting up the way, not singing to the front, not singing to Jim or Alison, but singing to him. We're connecting with it. And I find that can be quite a challenge. Because my thoughts can come into my head and I can get distracted even when I'm singing. And that's a confession, folks. And I've got to repent of that. But, you know, I've got to strive. Strive to connect with God when we worship. You know, Jesus said somewhere in the New Testament about, you know, who is going to be saved. And he said, strive to enter the narrow gate. This striving is something. Strive to enter the narrow gate. You say, well, the narrow gate, I know, and we're not going down there this morning. But, you know, God's a jealous God. And you can see that when you go through that narrow gate, it's narrow for one reason. There's lots of reasons, but it's narrow for one reason. There's only one God. And he wants us in entirety, not to be shared with the thoughts that might come into my head or your head or what am I going to cook when I get out of here and all these things. He wants us intimately. He doesn't want to share us with anybody or any other thing at all. David said in these verses that we've just read that God knew him intimately. I'd say this, he knew him better than he knew himself. And God knows you and I better than we know ourselves. We could say, quite honestly, to God, we are all an open book. We have no secrets that he doesn't know about. And some of us can say, well, I don't know that I like that idea, but it's the truth. How do you feel about that? Oh, did he really know I thought that about somebody? No. You could see your conscience getting troubled, folks. But what I say, David was not perfect. But how did David feel about God knowing him so well? Which is wonderful. He enjoyed it because it was his God and his God loved him. His God took care of him. He's doing that for you and me. When he said, my cup runneth over, could you say that? It's rhetorical. Don't answer me, but think about it. Could you say to somebody out there, you say, well, I've got Jesus as my Savior. My cup runneth over. What does that mean? Are we overwhelmed by the fact that we can have such a relationship with our God?